The story obviously brings up many moral questions, questions that Jim is wrestling with. And now we turn to Yale philosophy professor Shelley Kagan to wrestle with at least one of these questions. Welcome to the program.
Pleasure to be here.
Okay, so let me ask the first question that comes to mind, and that is Jim doing anything immoral by living with Nancy and while he is still married to Anne, who obviously knows nothing about what's going on?
Well, that's really the million-dollar question, of course, and I think it's something concerning which reasonable people can disagree. It's a surprisingly complicated issue to think about for such a simple case. Let me just mention quickly a couple of factors that seem relevant in thinking about it. One issue is simply whether or not his wife, Anne, still exists. That's not straightforward. Arguably, a case can be made that if the dementia has gone sufficiently progressed, that the wife, Anne, no longer exists. Then we might think, well, look, it's straightforward. We think that fidelity is required in marriage, but only until the death of the spouse. If the spouse no longer exists, then perhaps in the relevant sense, the promise of fidelity is no longer binding upon Jim. As I say, that's one issue. A second issue, even if we put aside the question of whether or not Anne still exists, if we assume that she still does, I think it's fairly clear from the story that Jim certainly treats Anne as though she still exists. He's not just visiting a body. I think he takes himself to be visiting his wife. So if we suppose that the wife still exists, then the question is he violating his marriage promise? And interestingly, that's not straightforward either, because the question is, what exactly did he promise to his wife?
Well, what about the idea that she doesn't know what's going on, and so she's not being harmed in any way? Would that be a reasonable excuse, to use that word?
The common view about this perhaps might be what you don't know can't hurt you. And clearly, if we accept that thought, then that might drive the conclusion that Anne's not being hurt by the relation between Jim and Nancy, and if so, then why not go ahead? But there may be more to individual well-being, more to the kind of life you'd like to have than just getting the insides right. And so we have to at least open the door to the possibility that Anne is being harmed by the relationship, even though she's unaware of it. Once we recognize the possibility that things that you're not aware of can still be bad for you, then we have to raise that possibility. But having raised that possibility, it's still not clear whether that's true in this case. It's not clear that Anne does have any interest, as we might put it, whether she's got an interest in Jim's continuing fidelity. And so even on the straightforward question, or what appears to be the straightforward question, who's helped and who's hurt, isn't it clear that Anne's not hurt? I think that's not straightforward either. It's a difficult case.
Okay, well, let me just pin you down to a very simplistic answer. You're Jim. Do you do it or not?
Well, on balance, he is doing her some slight harm. But the key word, at least under my current thinking, is that it's slight enough harm so that given the benefits to him and to Nancy, on balance, it's a legitimate thing to be doing.
That's Yale philosophy professor Shelley Kagan. Thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure.